Okay, gentlemen, next case, please. And Mr. Moore.
Yes, and I believe that there are two cases with the same individuals as owning. And if possible, I think it'd be advisable. We often do this with county council, have them both presented at the same time for time's sake, save time. And then we would have to vote on them separately. So it would still take two motions, but we can have the have them heard together.
Thank you.
All right, so the next items, again, will be, the public hearing will be held together, but again, they will be voted on separately. And then items are case 11,769, Jennifer Flinchbaugh and Lisa Smith seek variances from the front yard setback, side yard, and rear yard setbacks. Sections 115-42B, 115-183C, and 115-185A of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the northeast side of 4th Street, approximately 140 feet north of South Drive. The 911 address is 608 4th Street in Rehoboth Beach. The zoning district is GR Tax Map 334, Map 13, Parcel 92.04. Specifically for this application, they are seeking a 0.6-foot variance from the rear and a 7-foot variance from the front. We received no letters in opposition, one mail return, and four letters in support. For case number 11,770, Jennifer Flinchbaugh and Lisa Smith seek variances from the front yard setback and side yard setbacks. Sections 115-183C, 115-185A, and 115-42B of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the northeast side of 4th Street, approximately 190 feet north of South Drive. The 911 address is 606 4th Street in Rehoboth Beach. The zoning district is GR. The tax map is District 334, Map 13, Parcel 92.08. Specifically, they're asking for a 0.4-foot variance from the side and a 7.4-foot variance from the front. Again, no letters in opposition, one mail return, and four letters of support. And staff would note the letters in support are from Rachel Ribeiro. She's a realtor that she is in support of the approval for the sheds located at 604 and 608 4th Street in the subdivision, that they understand it's necessary to create and enforce zoning rules in order to protect the rights of citizens and enjoy the use of their property and to preserve the uniform character of the structures in the community. This is a circumstance what they believe is an exception and can be and should be made. The violation in question does not cause any actual harm to the property owners of adjacent properties or an adverse effect on the property values. To the contrary, it would cause unnecessary financial and logistical burden to the property owners to remove the sheds. It also present a burden to them as a tenant at 606 4th Street. Finding an alternative light location for the items in the shed, including gardening tools, yard care products, and yard care products, and my child's bike, and outdoor toys, and husband's work tools, and Christmas and holiday decorations, beach chairs, and other items would be quite a task. Part of the appeal of renting or owning a single family home as opposed to a condo is to have a yard and storage space. I would be denied the full enjoyment of the residence if I had to bring the items into the house from my shed. There's not sufficient closet space to store larger items, and I don't have a storage room. It would be unsafe to bring certain items into the house, such as pesticides and garden tools, as she has small children. Another point is that it would be an eyesore to have all of their beach gear, bikes, and gardening tools sitting on the front porch. This would be much more of an eyesore on adjacent properties than the shed extending some inches or over a setback line. Therefore, they ask that you make the decision in a positive decision. And then we got a letter from that says that they are neighbors of 606 and 608 4th Street in the subdivision, and that they support the current location of the sheds at the property listed above. And it is Edward Gam from 603 4th Street, Colette Pepper, that's my best guess at the name, at 610 4th Street, and Mary Hughes at 602 4th Street. And those are the letters we received in support of and from those property owners. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Good evening, sir.
Because you're the only witness.
It is my only witness, but I'm not sure how many witnesses the other part of the application.
Okay, if anyone that is planning to testify, if you want to come forward, will you give me your full name, please?
George Ryan Class.
And your address?
64 Lakeshore Drive, Lewiston.
And you come up here to, don't walk away yet. Okay, and you, will you both swear or affirm that the information that you'll give tonight will be true and correct?
Yes, I will.
Okay, thank you.
Good evening, Chairman.
Good evening, Chairman and members of the board. I think all of you know me, but for the record, my name is David Hutt. I'm a local attorney here in Georgetown with Morris James, Wilson, Harbrook, and Byard. This evening, I am representing Bayside Homes of Delaware LLC, which is the company that sold and installed the homes on the two properties that are the subject of the next two applications on the agenda. With me tonight, on behalf of Bayside Homes, is Ryan Class, as you just heard when he was sworn in. And again, he is one of the principals of Bayside Homes. As Ms. Cornwell just indicated, application number 11769 relates to 608 4th Street, and it is a request for, the developer's request is going to be for two variances. The first one relates to the rear yard setback and the location of the home. The home is 0.4 feet from the rear yard setback, and if you were to translate what 0.4 feet, since we use the English system, into inches, that is 4.8 inches, so just a little less than 5 inches is the variance that is sought from the rear yard setback requirements. And for some reason, that was the number of the day when these variances were needed, because the exact same variance of 0.4 feet is also needed for the steps, which are part of the encroach into the side yard setback, but are actually the rear exit from both of the homes. So on the first one, which is 608 4th Street, there's the rear yard setback and a side yard setback. And on the second application, which is application number 11770, 606 4th Street, the only variance that is needed is for the steps that, again, encroach into the side yard setback, but are actually the rear steps to the house, or the rear exit for the house. A moment ago, I handed to Ms. Cornwell two documents that we'll call the exhibits tonight. There's no exhibit notebook, as you're accustomed to from me, but we'll just hand out those two. The first is the plot, which is simply a larger version of what was included in the application. Sometimes when the surveys get reduced to 8.5 by 11, they become unreadable. So we expanded the survey to a larger size. And the second documents is just a package of pictures showing the homes. As you can see, they're recent pictures, because you can see the yellow planning and zoning sign indicating that, which was the posting for the property, indicating tonight's public hearing was going to occur. By way of quick reference for everybody, most of you are probably familiar with Truvale Acres, but the properties are located on 4th Street, which is in Truvale Acres. You would get to Truvale Acres from Route 1 by turning on Wolf Neck Road, and then down onto a Muncie Branch Road, and then on the right into Truvale Acres. As was indicated when the applications were described a moment ago, the properties are zoned GR, General Residential, and according to the Sussex County Code, this means that the lots should have a minimum area of 10,000 square feet, a minimum width of 75 feet, and the following setbacks: a 30-yard front yard setback, I'm sorry, 30-foot front yard setback, a 10-foot side yard setback, and a 10-foot side yard setback in the rear. The properties in question tonight, both properties, are about half the size of your standard GR lot, as they only contain 5,000 square feet. In addition to not having the 10,000 square feet of a GR lot, they also do not have the minimum width of a GR lot, which is supposed to be 75 feet, as each lot is only 50 feet wide. So when you apply the GR setbacks to this lot, the result is a building envelope of 30 by 60. The owners, and you're about to hear from one of those in a moment with respect to the shed variance that is sought, contacted Bayside Homes to learn if there were any homes that would fit within that building envelope. And Bayside was able to locate a home for them that was exactly 60 feet in length and consumed almost the entire width of the building envelope. Mr. Class, who's here with us this evening, has been with Bayside Homes since 2009. Bayside has sold and set approximately 40 or more homes per year in the time that he has been there. And I asked him if he would describe the process that they undertake when they're setting a home like this, or like these two homes rather. And they have a surveyor go out and stake the corners. After the corners are set, the footers are poured. And once the footers are in and inspected, then the home is delivered and set. This is the process that they followed on these two homes. And as you can see on 606 4th Street, that process worked to perfection. On 608 4th Street, the process did not work to perfection, as even though the corners were flagged by the surveyor, the home ended up 4.8 inches closer to the rear yard, rear property line than the setbacks allow. No one realized that this had occurred until this final as-built survey was prepared. To the naked eye, it's obviously hard to detect the difference between the 10-foot setback and the 9.6-foot setback that actually exists for this property. When the as-built survey was prepared, the developer was notified that the home was 4.8 inches too close to the rear property line, and that both sets of steps are also the same, 4.8 inches too close to the side property lines. When these conditions were discovered, Bayside Homes contacted me about participating in a variance application, as they were the developer and builder who sold the home and installed the home on these two lots. Given the minuscule nature of the variance, these variances that are requested, these applications seem to be very well suited for the administrative process that Sussex County enacted just a couple of years ago for variances of this nature, which are less than a foot. However, with the pending variance applications for the sheds that you're about to hear from the property owner herself, it made sense to simply move forward with this application rather than to seek the administrative approval through the administrative variance process. One other point of reference on this, and it's again another section of Sussex County Code, but it is similar to this in the manufactured home community. As many of the board members here will know, you used to, on a routine basis, see very small variance requests for steps that extended into the side yard setbacks, the exits from homes. And again, it was just a couple of years ago, County Council adopted an ordinance and became part of the code, allowing steps to go from a landing down into the side yard setback in manufactured home communities. Of course, this is not a manufactured home community, although this lot is the size of a lot in a manufactured home community. And I just point that out because this is within the characteristic of this type of housing in Sussex County. When you have a 5,000 square foot lot, getting the exit, rear exits from homes and the steps for them often requires these types of variances. Pursuant to the Sussex County Code, as you are very familiar, there are five factors for granting a variance. The first one is uniqueness, and this lot is unique. As I indicated earlier, it does not meet the minimum area or minimum width requirements of a lot in the GR residential district. When the setbacks are applied, you get a building envelope that is small because the area is only half as big and the lot is only two-thirds as wide. The second factor is the difficulty in that it cannot otherwise be developed, and the variance is necessary to enable the reasonable use of the property. Of course, if the property had another 25 feet in width, we would not be standing here in front of you. And with respect to, again, that relates to the building envelope and typical improvements that you would see to properties, which are things like steps and decks, and in order to allow those to move forward. The third factor is whether or not it was created by the applicant, and the size and width of the lot were not created by the applicant. The Bayside Homes sold the homes and then had them set on the property. The fourth factor is that it will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood.
And the requested variances will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. There are several, these are typical homes for the community. In addition, there are numerous locations throughout Truvale Acres where the GR lots are only 5,000 square feet instead of the required 10,000 square feet in the code. The fifth factor is that the variance is the minimum variance that will afford relief. And I don't know if I was randomly picking a number, if I could find one. I mean, I know I could pick one smaller than 4.8, but it wouldn't be much smaller. And so obviously it is the minimum variance that would allow for the placement of the homes in these steps. Most individuals, as I indicated earlier, would never even realize that there was an encroachment. And one of the telltale signs for that in my mind is if you look at the letters of support that Ms. Cornwell read into the record, all of the letters reference the shed variance that's going to be, you're going to hear about in a moment. And none of the letters even mention the fact that the home is 4.8 inches too close on the side or in the rear. And again, likely there is nobody that recognizes that other than a surveyor and the applicants themselves. Before I conclude, I wanted to note one other thing. I know this board takes exceptions when builders have errors in their building requiring individuals to come before the board and seeking variances. One thing I would note is this is one where the builder is stepping forward and applying for the variance themselves that was located. In addition, out of the hundreds of homes that Bayside Homes has set since Mr. Klass has been there, this is the first time that Bayside Homes is appearing in front of the board. And while there certainly is an encroachment into the rear yard setback, it is obviously very minimal. When I spoke with Mr. Klass about this, I asked him if there was any plan, if they would do anything differently, and if they had followed the normal course, which I described a few moments ago. And he indicated that the one thing that they will do differently in the future is when they have a home that is obviously almost the exact same size as the building envelope itself, they will make sure the surveyor is actually on site and hasn't just set flags. That may or may not be enough of a clue to the folks who are installing the footers, or you know, things get moved and things get replaced. So in the future, when they have a home that, again, matches the exact size of the building envelope as this did, they will have the surveyor on site when the home is set. For all these reasons, Bayside Homes would ask that the 4.8-inch variance for the rear yard setback and then for both lots, the side yard setback for the steps, be granted. Mr. Klass and I are available for any questions. I don't know if the board wants to hear from the property owner about the shed variances or stick to these variances first. And I didn't mention it very much other than just a note, but those are pictures of both of the homes side by side. 606 would be the left hand on the left hand side of the page, and 608 would be on the right hand side of the page.
Okay. Thank you. We'll start out. Let's see. We'll start with you. Do you have any questions?
Well, I can, Counselor, I can certainly see where.
Staff would just like to note that you've only heard half the application.
That's right.
So there is more testimony to be heard about both applications, and staff would also like to note that there's an additional front yard setback for the steps that encroach more than 5 feet into the front yard setback. It was advertised correctly as it is a variance for the front yard setback. So the applicant also needs a seven foot variance for the one set front yard set steps for the set front yard setback and a 7.4 foot front yard setback for the other property.
Did you want to go ahead with your other, since we were combining, and do all the testimony?
The sheds will be presented by the property owner.
Gotcha. Okay. Sorry.
But they're still part of both applications. Both.
Okay. Yeah. There's no way really to segregate it then. So.
Correct.
So why don't you go ahead with that testimony?
Normally we just incorporate the testimony of the first into the second.
Right. The sheds affect both applications. So Mr. Hutt gave his application for his reasoning for both applications, and I believe the owner is going to give her application, her reasoning for both applications. It's a little different, this one, because we have two different people representing different parts of both applications.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Flinchbaum, the owner of the two properties.
She was.
She was sworn.
Yeah, yes.
She was. One thing I didn't ask Mr., for the record, I didn't ask Mr. Class if everything I said was true and correct, and I should do that.
You go ahead.
Mr. Class, you heard the application as it was presented. It was everything that I stated true and correct?
Yes, it was.
Thank you.
Sorry, Mr. Hutt. I thought I was maybe streamlining things by combining. I didn't know there was two methods.
Yeah, there are two presentations to this to both applications, so.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Flinchbaugh. I'm the owner of the two properties. I'd like to combine the hearings for the applications of 606 and 608 4th Street, which is a part of this for the variance for the shed location at each property. So these statements and everything I read will be in reference to both properties. In July of 2015, we purchased two Rubbermaid 7x7 foot sheds for our two newly constructed homes on adjoining 50x100 foot properties. And we had removed a 1970 uninhabitable single wide home from the original property. So each of these sheds required hours of labor to assemble. And we originally located them at the rear of the properties under some misguided information that they weren't really permanent structures because they were Rubbermaid and not regulated by permits and setbacks. And subsequently, we received notice from planning and zoning that neither shed was in compliance with the rear or side setbacks. Because the rear, we only had 10 foot, and these sheds were 7 foot. After talking to someone in the planning and zoning office, Mr. Pettijohn suggested that our only possible permissible shed location was by the front corner stairs. And I think you have pictures of the houses with the sheds located there. So after obtaining permits, we rented a forklift, had the sheds' foundations rebuilt, and hired individuals to transfer the sheds to their current locations that you see on the pictures. The 30-foot setback was mistakenly measured from the road rather than where it should have been measured from, which was 15 or 16 feet back. As you've heard already, we have a 100-foot length property, a 60-foot home, and when you add that with the 10-foot rear setback, the 30-foot front setback, there's no room anywhere on the property to put a shed, is the bottom line, which we found out after the shed was moved to the front. So we take pride in our properties in both the physical appearance as well as the tenants to whom we rent. The sheds are attractive, they're of a reasonable size and maintenance-free. They're a necessity for our tenants to have appropriate storage for all the things you heard earlier, lawn and garden equipment, bicycles, etc. And they are imperative to keep our properties free of outdoor clutter. The Truvale Acres community is made up of many aging single-wide homes, a mixture of double-wide homes, and some newer modular homes. The exterior appearance of these homes varies immensely as well. A handful of these homes are run down and their yards are littered with debris, junk, vehicles, and garbage. In addition, there are countless examples of sheds and other miscellaneous structures that are clearly not in compliance with the setback rules, which I've taken pictures in the community that show sheds that are basically on property lines. We've obtained signed consent from our immediate neighbors in support of the current shed locations. I've included that piece of paper for you. I've also included letters written by each of our tenants. So I hope that you'll find that these sheds don't have any negative impact, but rather a positive addition to our properties. The uniqueness of the property, once again, as stated earlier, was it's a very small property. In each case, 50x100 foot, which doesn't allow for a shed location. It can't otherwise be developed. It's already on a permanent foundation, the house, so we can't really move the house and get a smaller house so that we have room for a shed. There's no place on the property where the shed's not going to encroach upon the setbacks. The shed's current location is the least obtrusive to the setbacks and property lines. It wasn't created by the applicant. We didn't cause, the size of the property. It is what it is. Let's see. Once again, the shed's a necessity for use for the tenants, and it's not going to alter the essential character of the neighborhood because, as I mentioned before, the community of Truvale does consist of single wides, double wides, modulars. Everyone has sheds. And once again, ours are very attractive, maintenance-free, reasonable size. And I want to point out that the neighbor right beside us on the left of 606 actually has a shed right in her front yard as well. Does anyone have any questions?
Anyone have any questions? Mr. Mills? Mr. Resnick?
Well, it appears that your concrete pad out front, do you know the size of that pad and where your building restriction line or where your property line is on that building pad?
On the concrete pad?
Yeah, according to the survey, it looks like a very less than 50% of the concrete pad is...
Yes, the concrete pad...
is in the right-of-way.
Is in the area that we don't own, I guess, technically.
But you poured that pad,
we
correct?
Poured the pad because we needed a parking area for the tenants.
Okay. So would you say that's a hardship, the right-of-way that is exhibited on this survey?
It's a hardship that we had no place to park and we had no place to put a shed.
Okay. But when you poured the pad, did you realize that your building property line was that far?
No, we were thinking all along that we had up to the road.
Okay.
And then we found out afterwards, after all this other survey was done, that we were infringing.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And again, what was the size of this of your dwelling?
The shed or the...
No, your dwelling is 26 by 60?
Yeah,
26
by 52. Or is it 52?
No, it's 60. The front covered porch includes...
that was part of the manufactured home that's built with the house.
Okay. My question is, all right, 26, so it's 60. And yeah, because I'm looking at 52, and you're not going here, I keep seeing 60.
Right.
Plus 8-foot porch.
Plus 8-foot porch.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am.
Sure.
Mr. Portman, do you have any?
You said your shed's on a concrete pad?
No. The concrete pad he brought up is our parking pad. The shed is on some concrete blocks that we put in place.
It's not permanent?
No, it's not permanent.
Okay.
It's Rubbermaid. We spent hours putting the screws together. But it's not on a concrete pad at all. It's just the individual cinder blocks to give it support.
Okay. No other questions.
Okay. Here
thank you.
Okay. Now.
Did you forget me?
Yeah, no.
Okay. I have a question for her.
I'm sorry?
You skipped right down.
No, I didn't. We've got edges.
No.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Mr. Rickard. When you got a permit for the shed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you said it takes a long time to put it together, is that correct?
Well, we did not have a permit originally when we put the shed in the backyard. We didn't realize we needed one. And then we got a permit to put it in the front yard.
And the permit said you're 35 and 5, right? 30 from the front?
Yeah, except we thought the front was the street, and it turned out it wasn't. Our property starts like 15 foot back from the street.
Right. It's from the property line, not from any street or anything.
Right.
You didn't know that?
No. No.
You never knew that? Your property lines are important?
My co-owner had called and was talking to Mr. Pettyjohn in the office, and he was the one recommending, he was looking at some drawing of our place and recommending we put it right where you see it located. So that's what we hired a forklift to move these you know, paid for a forklift, hired people to move them out front to that location.
So you said it where the inspector told you to put it?
It wasn't the inspector. It's just Mr. Pettijohn who was...
He's an inspector.
Okay, yeah. That was a conversation the co-owner, who's not here, but she had on the phone with him. I can't attest to, I wasn't on the phone with him, but that was a conversation they had. He was saying, you know, this is, seems to be the only place you can put it. So we put it there because these people need a shed. And then we found out when the inspectors came to re-inspect it that we couldn't have it there either, so.
Right, and when you got the survey, and what'd you get the survey for?
The survey ended up being done for this hearing, for okay. this variance hearing.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so that tells the story. I got the whole story now, how okay. this came about.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's when we found out the house was in the wrong location, too.
Okay. That was my next question. It was based on this that mm-hmm. you had.
Yes.
You know, and then all of a sudden you found out the house was also.
We had a bigger problem.
Bigger problem. All right. Thank you.
Anyone else?
No other question.
You poured the pad. Is the homeowner association fine with that pad being?
There is no homeowners association in Truvale.
Nobody really making a difference, but where the pads are.
No, and other people in the development have pads, or they've used asphalt to go.
So we don't know what?
To make a parking area. Yes.
Okay. You do this? That's your business. You.
No, actually, this is the first properties we ever bought a house. Tore it down and put new ones on. We bought other properties that were already built and rent them out.
Don't measure from the road.
Yes, okay. In the future.
You learned the hard one,
in the
right?
future, definitely.
Right, it's from the property. This is not unusual. People get that mixed up. All right, thank you.
Sure. Any other questions?
Any other questions? Nope. Next, Mr. Is that going to incorporate the West Sea Excellence, sir?
When you're ready to vote, you would need to have the two separate, on the two separate cases.
Okay.
Just for clarification, each application needs setbacks for both sets of steps. One has the rear yard. And one has a shed, and then the other one has the steps and the shed.
Okay. Steps and sheds. Okay. Hearing no further questions. Okay. Are there any persons here that are in favor of these applications? We have two. Okay. Is there anyone here in opposition for these applications? Chair hearing none, then I'll entertain a motion on each one. This will be on case number 11,769, the rear yard and the shed. Right?
Okay, each one we'll vote on, right?
Yes, that's correct.
That is correct.
Thank you. Yes, sir. And as we heard from Janelle, each one, this is the rear yard and the shed, and you're going to have the steps in the shed.
Okay.
So this would be on the first one.
Okay. On 11,769, I believe the applicant, both applicants, I might as well cover that at the same
okay.
time, both
yep.
applicants have demonstrated to me that there was an honest mistake made there. That there's a lot of things that people do measuring from the road. I believe that it would be a hardship for them to remove that shed. They would have no problems. They would have no place to store them. So I would say with the uniqueness of the property, which is very small in size, and most of those places there are in Truvale. And that's the uniqueness to the property, and a variance is necessary to reasonable use of the property. I believe the shed on the property is needed for storing, and explain that exceptionally well. An exceptional practical difficulty hasn't been created by the applicant. I believe that the applicant was confused, and maybe the county had misled there or misunderstood. They misunderstood one another, the inspector and the applicant. And the variance will not alter essential character of the neighborhood. That's been proven that they agree with the variance. And request of variance is the minimum that we're afforded relief.
Do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Rickert, second by Mr. Mills, that we approve case number 11,769. All those in favor of the motion, Mr. Workman?
Aye, for the reasons stated.
Again, Mr. Rickert?
Aye, for the reasons I stated.
Mr. Workman? Hudson?
Aye, for the reasons stated.
Mr. Mills?
Aye, for the reasons stated.
And I, Mr. Callaway, for the previous reason have been stated. So by a vote of 5-0, case number 11,769 is approved. Okay. Next case, 11,707. Call for a motion again. Okay, is there anyone here? We don't need, again, we just make a motion on this one, is all we need. Just need another motion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's all we need. I started to do that, but we don't need it.
I'd like to make a motion. We approve case number 11,770. Of course, again, the uniqueness of the property
excuse me,
is apparent with the small setbacks. The setbacks will encroach. A variance is necessary to enable reasonable use of the property. The exceptional practical difficulty hasn't been created by the applicant, and the variance will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood, and the requested variance is moving out with forward relief.
Do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Rickards and a second by Mr. Hudson that we approve case number 11,770. All those in favor of the motion, again, Mr. Berman?
Aye, for those reasons stated.
Again, Mr. Rickert?
Aye, for those reasons I stated.
Again, Mr. Hudson?
Aye, for the reasons stated.
Mr. Mills?
Aye, for the reasons stated.
And I, Mr. Callaway, for the previous reasons that have been stated. So by a vote of 5-0, case number 11,770 is approved. Yes, sir. Okay.